This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
If you've been struggling with your weight, Mochi Health is here to help. Mochi Health is a long-term weight loss solution personalized to fit your unique needs and goals. Meet one-on-one with board-certified obesity doctors and registered dietitians who are on a mission to listen. Eligible patients can access custom-formulated GLP-1 medications at an affordable set price and get them delivered to their home each month. Take our free quiz at joinmochi.com and use code AUDIO40 at checkout for $40 off your first month of membership.
And welcome to another edition of Spits and Suds. As we roll through this March, I'm Gavin Spittle of 105.3 The Fan. A stick tap to you for listening and a stick tap to our next guest. Wow, almost 1,000 downloads just for this one guy, and for good reason, of course. He's our NHL insider. He is our Stars insider. He is one of the hottest guys in DFW as far as people want him to talk hockey. From EP Ringside, from his Substack at Shap Shots, from his acting debut in the Late Game movie, which you can just Google it and you'll find where you can watch that movie, from D Magazine. He is the greatness of Sean Shapiro. How was that intro, sir?
It was well done, sir. Thank you.
I mean, I'm slaving over Edmonton Stars post games, and then I see the numbers, and man, I could just have Sean Shapiro on, and that takes care of things. Congratulations. Well deserved. It's because people enjoy your insight, and I certainly do as well. So I start with the following. 92 shots in the last two games, Sean. So I guess the question is as I watch this, and as I watch this probably over the last six games, because Pete DeBoer even said this has been building, do you think this can be fixed without Miro Heiskanen?
A little bit. Let me hedge my answer on this.
Okay.
I think it can be, and I think it is I think that's something that can be fixed slightly. I don't think it can be fixed. I don't think you are going to be able to be a shot suppressing team that limits a team regularly, a good team regularly, to 22, 23 shots a game on a consistent basis without Miro Heiskanen. I think that's the reality. I think they can be better at it. They can lock down a little bit more. They can do a bit better with all of that. It's to me, I also go from this, Gavin, right? Like, it's the whole space with the Stars team. And this is going to be, I don't want to disrespect the league and I don't want to do anything like that. But there's two things that I think come into mind here. One, the other team's trying to win games too.
Mm-hmm. Good point.
The other team's trying to win games too. The Flames are honestly in a much more desperate time. Like we used last night, for example, Flames are in a desperate battle for that final playoff spot. Stars are playing the second game of back-to-back. And from a Stars perspective, and this is just the nature of how this league works and how this stuff works, the Stars are kind of coasting through on their B game right now, and it doesn't really hurt them for the playoffs. And those are some realities that maybe aren't the most fun thing to admit and bring up, but I think that that's important context because, like, they've had the best record in the league the past 2 months of the season.
Yeah.
The Stars have. This is a – and also, I have to go back to my other bigger thing, too, with the Stars, where everyone will go, and I think hockey viewership and it's great. It's one of the things that why playoff hockey is great is you get some tribalism and everything like that, but there are other teams that would be doing backflips if they had the quote-unquote problems the Dallas Stars had. So it's. I think it's important sometimes to bring this context into play because we can want higher excellence and push forward and talk about what went wrong specifically last night and against Edmonton and everything like that. But I also want to start, Gavin, at least the spot of the Stars aren't a bad hockey team. And they also happen to be missing one of their best players in the world right now.
Yeah.
And those two things cannot be ignored. So
yeah,
I'll let
you
get me back on track. I think it's important to bring that stuff up.
And I think a great stat is, absolutely. 9-2 on second night of back-to-backs. And a lot of that leads me to Casey DeSmith and what a terrific signing that has been. Sean, as a goaltender, do you want to face more shots and be more active? And how does that wear you down after the game? We talk about players, forwards, defensemen getting worn down. What about goalies?
Yeah, honestly, from a goaltending perspective, you actually want to see a little bit of rubber early in the game. It's easier to get into rhythm, getting some shots and everything like that. You want, especially, and I think the Stars, some of the quality chances too weren't nearly as high as the shot counter showed last night. So that actually wasn't that was actually one of the best possible games for a goalie last night. You love games last night from your Casey DeSmith's perspective because your save percentage looks absolutely amazing.
Stop
46 of 40. Your save percentage looks amazing. The shot quality was good, but not great. And you get to stay in rhythm. I mean, honestly, the hardest games for a goalie are the opposite ends where you are like, that's a harder game for Dustin Wolfe last night than it is for Casey DeSmith. When you kind of have all the action go to the other end of the ice, you kind of, it's hard to get into a rhythm. Like, so I was at a good example of this kind of in live action was yesterday. I spent yesterday afternoon and evening in Toledo, Ohio at the NCAA regional yesterday. And I'm watching the Ohio State Boston University game. And, BU Ohio State outshoots BU 15-2 in the first period. At the end BU wins that game 8-3, scores 5 goals in the third period, everything like that. Weird game from a goaltending perspective. The goalie for Ohio State, you're watching him, he's never comfortable. He faces just 2 shots in the first period. Your body gets cold, not much happens. Chaos kind of ramps up in the second and third period and just looked awful. And meanwhile, the 19-year-old kid for BU, Mikhail Yegorov, faced a bunch of shots in the first period, gets into rhythm, and when it's a 3-3 game going into the third period, and he's been feeling good all night, he stepped up in the third period, and the other guy didn't. And you don't want to just like give up shots on your goalie, right? You don't want to, but from a goaltending perspective, there is a reality. It's one of the weird things about the position, where your life is better and moves a little smoother when you're getting constant action. And that's also one of the reasons, Gavin, we've seen NHL teams' shot totals in general kind of drop a little bit this year, and why save percentage is lower this year is because teams have decided they're not going to always be as high quantity shooters. They're going to be we're going to take it the time to be a little bit more of a quality shot. We're going to take the time to do this. Like, I know there was Kevin Woodley, who's a really great goalie expert and writer in Vancouver. Kevin's told me this story about how there's some prior Hurricanes goalies who told him how it was kind of annoying looking at the other end, because sometimes it would feel like the Hurricanes are just warming up the other goalie to get them all warmed up. And these are all these things that kind of come into play. And so Casey DeSmith thrived last night. I would not suggest giving up 48 shots a night regularly,
sure,
but it worked out well. And that's kind of where I'm going with this. I've gone all over the place once again. I will let you keep me on track.
Okay. So I briefly mentioned it on the post game last night. Liam Bischel, 29 games now, 26 penalty minutes. I know this is a learning curve, and it has to be a fast learning curve due to the injuries. But that is something that, you know, I think that probably he needs to work on. I wanted to get your thoughts on Bischel. Love the player, excited for the future. I just think recently there's been a kind of a string of penalties, and I wonder, do the referees start to look at him and focus on him as far as, you know, tying up people?
I mean, I don't know if it's as much that, and I kind of look at, so he's now at game 30 in the NHL this season, yeah. Game 29 in the NHL this season, right? He's played, I want to make sure I have this number right, so I'm pulling up the his Elite Prospects page. Shout out to one of my employers. He's at 60. He's now played he's at the 60 game mark. He's at the 60 game mark for games played this year. And last year, between playing for Rogala and the SHL and the Texas Stars, regular season and playoffs, he played he only played 65 games last year total, right? Like, between, he had it was 45 regular season games, and yeah, just 64 total games he played last year between the SHL and the AHL, including the regular season and the playoffs. And he's hitting a bit of that quote unquote rookie wall to me. It's not necessarily the penalties I look at the penalties as more of the league. You learn the league, Gavin, mm-hmm. And I've heard said this many times on this podcast, and people will hear me say it too many times, but I'm a big believer in it. You may learn the league, but the league also learns you. And I've talked a lot about that with Thomas Harley before, and I think that's one of the reasons I've been so impressed with Thomas Harley thriving during Miro Heiskanen's absence. That's what Liam's going through right now. Liam Bixel's going through, the league is learning him, and he's got to figure out how to fight through this part. And honestly, I'd rather him hit this wall at game 72 of the regular season and fight through it for the next 7 to 8 regular season games than it be game 2 of the second round of the first round against the Colorado Avalanche. And so I know it's something that he's fighting through, and it's kind of there. I think it's more of that. It's just, he's figuring out the timing. He's figuring out, how do I play NHL backs to backs? How do I do all of that? How do I keep this consistency? And this is a learning curve that was going to show up at some point or the other. Wyatt Johnston is the rare exception where somehow that learning curve never happened in his rookie year. For most players, this happens at some point. And this is where I see, this is kind of where I see him. It's not a put up or shut up. That's the wrong term, but it's this is where you're tested. This is where you prove what type of pro you're going to be. And not a great example. I'll give a good example. You know what? Like, Gavin, remember when Alex Chiasson couldn't not score? Remember Alex Chiasson's entry to the NHL with the Dallas Stars? You're like, yeah. Oh my God, this guy's going to be the next 80 goal scorer.
Yeah.
Alex Chiasson went to have a good NHL career, won a cup, everything like that. But you come back to earth once everyone realizes what you are, they pull you back to earth. And so this is the challenge for Leon right now. And I think that's something where, if you're looking as a Stars fan right now, and you're looking for, how do you want to watch the, how do you want to, like, kind of watch the end of this season? Obviously, you want the team to come together. You're going to probably want to see what Tyler Seguin does in his game or two at the end of the year. But focusing on Liam Bixel from shift to shift could be a fun way for a Stars fan to just kind of get an idea of what a young player is going through in the league and see his progress over the next 10 games before they go into a playoff series, because it's important.
Yeah. After that Wyatt Johnston move last night, immediately I thought of, wow, 5-year deal. That's amazing.
Yeah, exactly.
Deceptive, I think, is a great way to explain Wyatt Johnston, because it's not like he's speeding around the ice and you're like, oh my goodness, this speed. And I mean, but when he turns on the jets, and just the skill set and being in the right place at the right time and knowing, and as they said correctly on the TNT broadcast the other night, this is a third line player. That shows the depth of this Stars team. And it's like, wow. Yeah. And I think, Sean, it's interesting and important to point out, because, you know, lines change and everything, but that also means, correct, that you're playing against different defensemen when you're third line, right?
Yeah, I mean, the matchups are going to be different, home versus away, all that stuff and everything. I think the other spot, just about, you get, it's what your opponent's doing also changes things too, right? Like, is it an opponent that wants to match up strength on strength? Because you could say, like, oh, well, you're a third line center, you don't get the top defenders, but you're a third line center, you might get the other team's top line, right? Calgary last night put more of their top line, not to seek out Wyatt Johnston, but like they went a little bit where it was like, hey, we're going to put our top line out against the Stars' so-called third line. That's a reality, and so you have those things kind of play together. And honestly, Gavin, it's one of my favorite parts of playoff hockey that we're going to watch. And it's kind of one of those, like, we got 10 games left in the regular season and we're going to enjoy those games, but I really just want to get to playoff hockey because I love the chess match.
Yeah.
I love the chess match. I love the, I love coaching the adjusting from game one to game two, players figuring things out. That to me is my favorite part about playoff hockey. I want to see, and obviously I'm very much hoping Miro Heiskanen is healthy for game one of the playoffs. I don't know, but I very much hope so. I'm hoping to see the chess match between how do the Stars get the ice? How do the Stars make sure Nathan MacKinnon is on the ice at the same time as Miro Heiskanen and vice versa? And how does Jared Bednar try to get this guy out there versus that? Like, I'm so excited for that. And it's that to me is what I love about it. And you just don't get that in regular season hockey. Regular season hockey is so heavily based on game to game, we focus on ourselves. We're not necessarily trying to outsmart the other team as much as happens in the postseason.
That's a good point. Wanted to talk about Mikko Rantanen in this sense, Sean. Yeah. I think we see the stats and we're like, wow, he puts up a lot of points. But two plays last night that really stood out. The goal that put it away, that was a hustle play by Mikko Rantanen. Great follow-up to put it in. And I noticed one play where it was an odd man break for Calgary and they were rushing down the ice, and first back in the play was Mikko Rantanen, and you could see he was going back hard. And sometimes with elite goal scorers, we forget about the two-way action. And I just thought that was a real good indication that even if he's not scoring at the streak that Stars fans would like, and it is a very high amount, Mikko Rantanen is certainly putting in a lot of effort to get adjusted to this team.
You got to think, like, and I talked to a scout about this today or last night, like, players hardly ever move two teams in a year, and a player of his caliber never moves two teams in a year. He's going to be the highest scoring player that ever played on three teams in one season.
And so, technically four with Finland.
Yeah. So, like, he is, like, and also he's got 4 points in his last three games. Things are starting to come together. I am not concerned about Mikko Rantanen. I know there's some people who, and I think sometimes it's a little bit becomes like you hear an opposing fan base say so much about a guy that sometimes, like, even though you want to drown out the noise, it's hard not to. Like, I think there's Avalanche fans who, because of the rivalry, and sports are about rivalry, so I'm okay with it, but Avalanche fans will be like, oh, he was only a MacKinnon merchant. He was only this, he was only that. And he wasn't. He clearly was not. But I think you hear it so many times and from rival fans that you start to believe it a little bit more than you should. And to me, Rantanen is the cliched 200-foot player. He's the guy that does that. And he reads the game so well, and you talked about Wyatt Johnston earlier, and you talked about two things they do both incredibly well is They know when and where to arrive. That game, that goal last night that really put it away, it's a hustle play, Gavin, but it's also hockey awareness. It's knowing it's not jumping too far into the play where that puck is out of position. Where, like, if you're too anxious, for lack of a better word, you jump in there and you're not even there for the rebound. So I think there's so many things you can learn about the game of hockey if you isolate on Mikko Rantanen. To me, he's one of my favorite players to watch. He's been since he was with Colorado. I get to watch him now a little more regular, obviously, with this, with him being in Dallas. I think people, I'm going to say this over and over again because people are going to look at the stat line and they're going to be like, oh, but I'm going to say, hey, this is going to be a really good deal for Dallas in the long term.
Yeah.
And watch what happens in the postseason. So I don't know. I'm having a lot of these moments today, Gavin, on this show where I'm really enjoying our conversation. I'm not sure if I'm making points or not, so that's your job to tell me whether you want to have me ever back on again.
I think you are, sir. I think you are. Last night, Sidney Crosby, 20th season, averaging at least a point per game. That passes Wayne Gretzky for the most in NHL history. And I know it's about Ovechkin right now, but I think it's important to point that out because I don't know. I'm a nerd. I'm a two-way guy, Sean.
Yeah.
And so, like, not that, I mean, I'm excited for Alex Ovechkin. I'm excited for the publicity it provides for the game. You know, excited that Gretzky's all about it. I'm excited for all these things, but it is fascinating when you look at two players drafted at the same time who have been rivals and then both are eclipsing the great one in two ways that we never thought would be done.
Yeah, I mean, one's drafted 1 year after the other. People got to remember that. It was the lockout was the only reason they entered the league at the same time, right? So they entered the year, the league as rookies. One was drafted 1 year, one was drafted the next. But they are the two records that they are going to set are perfect encapsulations of the players, right? Like Ovechkin is this goal scorer. He's going to go down as the greatest goal scorer in NHL history. Then Crosby is this complete player, this guy. Like, it is the thing that they've done that I point to that it can be frustrating at times is like, they've broken aging curves, right? And I think that's the thing you sometimes have to like talk about with them. Like, very few players get to break aging curves, right? Like Joe Pavelski did it in Dallas. But like Jamie Benn's a perfect example. Jamie Benn could not play, and he's been good and he's adjusted his game, but Jamie Benn could be an 87 point player as a 35 year old, like he was when he won the Art Ross. And so I think with Crosby and Ovechkin and what they've done, it's so impressive to me where if you were to be like, I want this player in like your hypothetical fantasy world where I'm going to pick a player and at any there's no season in your career would be like, oh, I don't want that version of that guy. There's never been a version you don't want of either of those players. To me, that is the spot of like generational excellence and where that really comes from to me.
I talked to Ali Simpson yesterday. Great interview. Just a nice person and doing well. New York Sirens not playing well in the PWHL, but you know, she says
I have a good New York Sirens story for you.
Abby. Okay,
I'm going to let you go.
Shoot,
I've got a good New York Sirens story.
Tell
you go first. No, you go first. I want to hear.
Okay, so, all right. So yeah. I asked her about a game. You know, they have these travel games which you have been to, and they're very, very popular. And I asked her about coming to DFW, and she goes, "Yeah, that's my dream." She goes, I want that to happen. And I was thinking New York Sirens against Boston. You have Hannah Bilka making a return, Ali Simpson making her return. If you don't think the AAC is appropriate, maybe you do it at the Frisco Star Center. Not the Frisco Star Center, but, you know, that arena, which used to host the Texas Tornado or something like that. But could you see a PWHL team PWHL game coming to Dallas?
Yeah, I don't know about a team, but I see the game happening.
Yeah.
And I especially see it as the Stars have pushed for more of these events, like U18 World Champions coming there later this month and everything like that. So I think so. I think there's a fit there, especially from a PWHL business sense. Selling the one-off game actually isn't that difficult. There's a larger business conversation, Gavin, about like how do you figure out a one-off event versus everything. But I think that would be great for hockey, and I hope they do it. And you wouldn't sell out the AAC, but I bet you could fill the lower bowl, and then that's where you start to have the conversation of you do the AAC, do you do one of the other venues in town? You kind of have that discussion.
Right.
I would love to see it. But I think it would be great for DFW. It would be great for girls hockey. It's actually a good segue. So they did the game in Detroit, and I took the kids to that game and everything like that. And this is one of those. I promise this story will land, Gavin. But this is for anyone listening. For anyone listening, and you want to talk about how this business connects and how small of a world it is. So. This story is one that effectively starts all the way back in 2008, 2009-ish. I am a student at Bowling Green. I am covering college hockey at Bowling Green. Jim Rock is the coach at Lake Superior State. I am a student journalist, asking him questions randomly when Lake State comes through Bowling Green, all of that stuff. Jim is now a coach for, is now a scout for the Toronto Maple Leafs. We have, I since seen him quite often in press boxes as a scout, but our relationship goes back to me being a 20, 21 year old student journalist asking him probably dumb questions from a visiting media perspective. Jim Rock is Abby Rock's dad. Abby Rock, who, if you pay attention to the BWHL, one of the better players in the league, yep, scored the Michigan goal the other day. First Michigan goal scored in the pro hockey. Someone pointed out, I think it was the first player from Michigan to ever actually score a Michigan in a pro game. But so we go to the BWHL game in Detroit, which features New York and Abby Rock and everything like that. And because of, and I've never asked Jim for this or anything like this, but I'm talking to Jim Rock, and Jim and I talk about families and life and everything like that. And he knows I have a daughter that plays hockey. And so after the PWHL game in Detroit, Jim texts me, and instead of us heading to the car and leaving, we head down to the lower bowl. And my daughter, Evie, she got to meet Abby Rock after the game, take a picture with her, and got a signed puck from her. And it's one of those kind of like, foundational experiences for my daughter from her hockey fandom. So that's the type of thing that these events do, and bringing it around, especially for women's and girls hockey and everything like that. And so two-part story on that, where those events are great for everyone and for anyone who ever listens, because I know people talk about like, oh, how does this business work? That's why you treat people the right way. I mean, yeah, that's for me. I'm a 19, 20 year old student journalist who because of how I treated someone and led to a relationship with someone who eventually became a scout working for another organization. And then somehow 18 years later, it leads to an opportunity for my daughter, who was not even a thought in my mind at the time, obviously 19, 20 years old. So that's my good New York siren story for the day.
All right. Yeah. That's a good story. Really, really good story. Yeah. She'll remember that forever. All right. A quickie. St. Louis Blues just on a tear. Amazing if they get the second wild card position, Sean, because, you know, from us, from our perspective, you know, we're looking at Jim Montgomery, we're looking at Steve Ott as an assistant coach, we're looking at Doug Armstrong as the general manager, we're looking at Ryan Suter on the ice, we're looking at Radek Fox, a lot of stars ties. So it is fascinating. I mean, I want to give a stick tap to them, but I also want them to get beat in the first round.
I mean, I think they're going to, it's this time of year, like, so they are, I think they're getting in. I mean, right now they have they got a 5-point cushion on Vancouver, and I know Vancouver has two games in hand, but 5 points at this time of year is a lot.
Yeah.
And Minnesota has an easier schedule too. So I honestly think St. Louis is going to be, either way, Minnesota or St. Louis are going to be good. I mean, I know people might think like the Wild are a better team. Like, the Blues to me are going to be.
Hey, it's Jim Costa with Cash the Ticket. It's March, so Mike Valeni and I are all over the tournament again this year. There's just nothing like betting in March. Breakdowns of every region and every game, from conference tournaments to the Final Horn, we'll have the picks and the plays on every single game. Cinderella spotlights, upset alerts, and some of that value for the last team standing. It's tourney time, so hunker down and bet the board with us. Subscribe and listen to Cash the Ticket in the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Actually, let's put it this way, Gavin. If the Blues are in the second wild card spot and they're in the first round and they're playing Winnipeg, would you rather play the Blues or would you rather play Connor Hellebuyck in the second round? It's not a good answer either.
No, I know.
So it's
that says it all.
That's another way to look at it. So
yeah, you're absolutely right. All right, quickly, what can we plug for you? Any articles coming out? Your Shap Shots has been really, really active with some terrific articles.
Yeah, I have something today. It's kind of called literally scatter shots for the day because I was just running all over the place. But got some stuff today over at Shap Shots, just kind of from my I was out in Grand Rapids on Wednesday catching up with the Texas Stars. There's a really good piece on there about Justin Ritzkovian and how the Stars signed him as a college free agent. I saw how teams put in the work to sign these guys. And like last night, I was at the NCAA tournament games and saw Rich Peverly and Sam Lights there. They were Stars only had one prospect there, defenseman playing for Cornell, but they were there watching both games because clearly they're looking for others as well. So I've got a couple of good pieces over at Shap Shots. Go check that out. One thing I will tell people with the work we're doing at Elite Prospects, I've been really proud of being part of that team. We got draft guide season coming up soon. Next Sunday is our next big draft ranking. And if you you want kind of a cool spot where you can go get kind of a scout's mind and scouting reports and everything like that, check out what we've been doing at Elite Prospects, because there's like last night, I don't know where else is doing stuff like this, where you can go and you can say like, hey, I want to learn about this player, and you can go to their player page and you can find scouting reports from their junior games or college games and stuff like that. Just open out there for everyone. And like, that's the type of thing that I think I'm really proud of the work they're doing there. Check that out. Check out my site, of course. And yeah, it's do that for me.
You are one of the busiest mans in hockey, but for good reason. You always make time for our Spits and Suds listeners. Oh, so I tried to give Castillo a nickname the other day, a hockey nickname, and he completely rejected it. I went with Casty. I thought that would be a good one. Ritzkovian down in Texas called me like Spitzy. So Tepper went with Teps. Tiffin went with Tips. No, Tiffs would be his nickname. Would I call you Shaps?
I think Shap is fine. That's okay. You can add the S if you want, but I think it's
Shap.
I think it's fine. It's the shortening of it, because I don't have I've got the one syllable first name that doesn't really extend really well.
Yeah,
I've got
that's true.
Last name. I think Shap works.
Okay. Yeah. Shap made some big saves for us tonight. Yeah. That makes sense. Yeah. It sounds good. Yeah. All right. The greatness of Sean Shapiro joins us. Check him out. EP Ringside. Please subscribe to his Substack. It's awesome. Shap Shots. You can catch him in D Magazine. Actor in the Late Game movie. Doing all kinds of things. And thank you so much for listening to another edition of Spits and Suds right here on 105.3 The Fan. Until our next podcast, have a great day, everyone.